Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, Steve Jones Show, on this Thursday. Great to have you on board. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And a big show coming up for you today. Here in the first half hour, we'll be talking with Bob Warming, the head coach of the Nittany Lion men's soccer team. Penn State at Hartwick tonight at 7 o'clock at Jeffrey Field in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. Next half hour, Kevin's going to talk with Pat O'Brien and company about tomorrow night's showdown, Selins Grove and Somerset, that will take place at Richland High School in Johnstown in the PIAA Interdistrict Playoffs. In the third half hour today at 4:06, Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, is going to join us. And in the final half hour, Todd Sadowski, who works Blue White Tailgate with me, the Blue White Tailgate TV show. Todd and I have worked together for a couple of years now. Outstanding, and it's the first time we've had Todd in the show, and he'll be our guest at 4:35. So we have Bob Warming in just a few moments here. Then next half hour, high school football talk, Selins Grove and Somerset. And then at 4:06, Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. And then Todd Sadowski, my co-host on Blue White Tailgate, the TV show, joining me at 4:35. So a lot going on today. NCAA tournament time, and for Penn State, they're back in it. They have Hartwick. We are joined by the head coach of the Nittany Lions, Bob Warming. Bob, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Must have been a Princeton grad that wrote that headline.
Yeah, but it was 1968, Bob, and I'm not sure what kind of shape they were when they wrote it. So
I'm pretty sure they weren't in good shape.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Harvard beats Yale. All right, for your team, you get to this time of the year, it is, for the lack of a better term, the money time. So, yeah, to go through this kind of, your players have been through this experience before. How much does experience help in getting ready mentally for something like this?
Look, it's essential. It is absolutely everything, because there's always self-doubt. You know, one of the things that's wonderful about the NCAA tournament in all sports is that you get a chance to play typically someone you haven't played during the regular season. And anytime you're playing somebody new, you're facing the unknown, there's always a little doubt. So having been there before is very important to know, hey, it's another team. And by the way, we've just finished playing in the best league in the country that has six teams in the NCAA tournament. We're ready for this.
Right, and that's the big part. Your schedule has prepared you for this moment. When you get into a situation where it, for example, if I were to say, okay, Bob, you're about to play Wisconsin, as an example. Well, you have a pretty good handle on personnel. And so do the players. When you get into this, I know you have to prepare them, but how much does relying on how you play the game and your style become more important?
It is important, but I think you always have to understand the strengths and weaknesses of your opponent. You know, since Monday, whenever our draw was announced, I've seen six games of Hartwick now. Okay. You know, we have a great group of guys in Grant and Ryan Seidel who throughout the year have been gathering video in preparation for this moment. Every time something's on the internet, every time something's on ESPN3, every time something's out there, they're making recordings of it. And it's, you know, to our team's great benefit that, you know, we're prepared completely for what they've got. And now we just go out and try to do our best.
Part of this is being a possession sport. How well do you feel like you've handled possession in terms of time of it to tilt the field, and then also how you've taken advantage of it?
Well, we have a program called Pro Zone that we put our team's games through, and And we also do the other teams in the Big Ten and evaluate percentage of possession and passing. And we've got an incredible possession rate. Most teams look to try to get somewhere between 80 and 87% during a game. And our guys right now are clicking off at pretty close to 85%. So, you know, our guys are really doing well in keeping the ball and limiting opportunities for our opponents. Some people think, you know, the team has a great defense, but the best defense is when you got the ball. You know, you just try not to turn it over in bad spots. And we ran into that a few times this year, and hopefully we've learned from that.
Obviously, your defense has been very good this year. Wolverton's been really good, obviously. When you get into this, discuss the value of what you have in your back line and the final line.
You know, I think Andrew's the first to tell you that the reason he set the single season shutout record a couple of years ago and now is the all-time leader in the 105 years of Penn State soccer in shutouts is because of the guys in front of him. Sure, he comes up with a few big-time saves for us, but so many opportunities that might get there against another team simply don't ever get to him. You know, it's an art to block shots. Yeah. Just in hockey and soccer, whatever, it's an art. And how to block shots, not tackle, but get your body, throw your body on the line to make sure that the ball never gets to the goalkeeper is something our guys have gotten really, really good at.
All right, now you get to this part, the ability to find the back of the net. Is there an element of, is there an element of patience that needs to be that becomes really important at this time of the year?
You come talk to my team, man. I'd love for you to say the same things again. You know, our players are impatient. They want to get a goal every time we have a possession, and I want them to too. But sometimes we get a little bit in a hurry, and we get a little frustrated when we don't get that, and it hurts us in other aspects of the game. So, you know, hopefully as we've gone on, we've gotten a little more mature about that. We know we have to just keep grinding and playing. And, you know, sometimes you're going to go through a little adversity. Someone's going to sneak one in on you, and you got to respond in the right way. And I've been pleased with what's happened in practice. We've done a lot of, like, last few minutes of the game down a goal situation with our guys this past week. And, you know, this is one and done. So how we get through, if we get in an adverse situation and get through and make sure we have a chance to advance, the guys have handled that really well, the best they have all year. So that's encouraging.
I just wanted to make sure you knew I was actually paying attention this year. So
I wish that's the same. I could say the same for some of our guys sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you. It's also the time. It's expected at this time of the year, and it's not as if Hartwick's coming up from Florida to play. But when it gets to this time of the year, it's cold, and I know they're running around. What do you need, for example, at this time of the year, that guys that could be subs for you that are on that bench that they need to be conscious and aware of before they get in there when the conditions are like this?
You know, it's a tough sport in terms of the fact we run around in T-shirts and shorts
right
in August, and this year was, man, high humidity and pretty high temperatures in August. It was the summer we never had, and now we're in the point where we're still in T-shirts and shorts, and tomorrow night wind chill's going to put it down in the probably in the teens.
Right.
So you know, we've been to get a bunch of tech gear for the guys to have that are on the bench. Toe warmers are a big deal.
Yeah,
keeping
sure.
The feet warm. We have to change our shoes because the surface is going to be frozen,
right,
and regular cleats are not going to go into the surface. The surface is too hard right now, and it's not going to thaw out anytime in the next 30 hours or so. So, you know, we've got to wear different shoes. We've got to do a lot of things that are a little bit different. And the guys on the bench just can't be on the bench. They've got to kind of stay up and get up and be moving every 10 minutes and prepare to go in the game.
7 o'clock tomorrow night. Gates open at 6. First 250 fans get ham warmers, and student tickets are at RMR, 5214C, PSU.edu. All right. So get out there to see it. It's NCAA tournament time. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And you know, and be one of the first 250 there, Bob. You'll get ham warmers.
Thanks, brother. I plan on being at the game early.
Okay, I'm not surprised at that. Hey, good luck. It's survive in advance time.
All right, thank you, Steve.
It's Bob Warming, the head soccer coach of the Nittany Lions, as they take on Hartwick in the opening round. It's actually going to be tonight. I talked to Bob yesterday. It's going to be tonight at Jeffrey Field. He mentioned the wind chill tonight being in the teens. Kevin's sideline reporter tomorrow night. The wind chill tomorrow night in Johnstown also will be in the single digits. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you want to be a sideline reporter, huh? Sure you do. Sure. Coming up on the show today, it's going to be a fun show. We'll talk about Selins Grove and Somerset in the next half hour. The broadcast team gets together now that Kevin has been able to wedge his way into the broadcast team. And the broadcast team will get together to talk about that in the next half hour. Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, is going to join us. And the at 4:06 today from Champaign-Urbana to talk about Saturday's game between the Nittany Lions and Illinois. And then Todd Sadowski, who for the past 3 years has been one of the co-hosts of Blue White Tailgate, which is seen in State College, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and Harrisburg. So people in our area certainly get it as well. I've had a lot of comments about the show. Trey Bauer, by the way, rounds out the merry band. Todd's going to join us. First time we've had Todd in the show, and it's actually been my fault for not having my good friend on. He is incredible to work with, a great professional, and it'll be fun to have him on the show and make him a regular contributor as well. So that's what we have coming up on today's show. Tomorrow will be a lot of fun as well. Tomorrow we're going to have on Mark Brennan of Fight On State. Josh Moyer from ESPN.com is going to join us. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, coming up tomorrow as well. So we have a lot going on in tomorrow's show. Should be a lot of fun. Should be. And one other for tomorrow. Mike Lang, the play-by-play voice of the Penguins. They have a lot of Penn State football talk going on, but the Penguins are off to a good start. But Pascal Dupuis, tough for him. Blood clot, lung, out 6 months. We'll talk to Mike Lang. It'll be great to have Mike Lang on the show and talk to Mike tomorrow. So Mike Lang of the Penguins tomorrow. Also, Mark Brennan, Blue White Illustrated tomorrow. Mark Brennan, Fight On State tomorrow. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated tomorrow. And Josh Moyer, ESPN.com tomorrow. So we are loaded on tomorrow's show. Should be a lot of fun. Kevin, of course, busy writing everything down. Writing everything down. That way you can put together a promo of some sort. I mean, do you want me to do promos where I sit there and say, if you've been listening lately, I hope you're listening every day, all the time. And Bob Buhner and I have both made the conscious decision that in complete support of Kevin, we want Bucknell to take care of business and beat Colgate and get a bid so Kevin's not here next weekend. And we'll just put the dinner with the three of us together at a different time because we think Bucknell winning and getting to the FCS tournament is far more important. So let's just see how it plays out. Colgate first. By the way, if you go to the game at Christy Mathewson Stadium on Saturday, keep your ticket. It'll get you into the basketball game with Mount St. Mary's that night. Great deal. All right, coming up to the bottom of the hour and news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The next half hour, Selins Grove football talk. Brian Barnhart in the 4 o'clock hour from Illinois along with Todd Sadowski here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones rejoining us in the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes as he chats quickly with Coach James Franklin of the Penn State Nittany Lions. In the meantime, Kevin Herb, Bob Buhner standing by with Pat O'Brien, the voice of Seals Grove Seals football on Eagle 107, one of our sister stations. Pat will be making the trip with Ryan Brandt, and I'll be tagging along as well to Johnstown and Richland High tomorrow, where the Seals take on the Somerset Golden Eagles. And this is a team from Somerset that really kind of came on strong and surprised a lot of people when they really handled Clearfield a week ago, Pat.
Absolutely, and maybe not so much a surprise for Somerset, as this has been building for them. They had a new coach, Landis, came in 2011, took over a team that was 0-10, and after a very short period of time has turned them into a district champion in the Lower Highlands, their first district title, and they're sitting at 11-1, so they've done some good things. So maybe a surprise in beating Clearfield, but they are definitely well deserved, and they are obviously ready to take on a good Seals Grove team.
How do you find out about these guys? That's what I want to know. How do you find? Because Kevin has the easy job; he has to just stand down there and freeze.
Well, I tell you, and as I'm sure we all know, the power of the internet, and actually was able to reach out to some ADs, friends of mine, and be able to have conversation about these guys, and boy, they're impressive. You look at them on paper, and this team's putting up over 42 points a game, and they've scored 55 times. They've scored 50 or more, so definitely putting up a lot of numbers, and they seem to have good balance between a junior running back, Jake Heupel. He has over 1,200 yards, and their quarterback's thrown over. Dylan Barnes, a junior as well, has thrown over 1,200 yards as well, so it was a little more difficult than District 4 finding information, but between my stat guys, Zach Showers, and everybody else, we were able to gather it up and get ourselves ready.
Pat, styles mean something. Team A can beat Team B. B can beat C, but sometimes C beats A, and you're like, how did that happen? Because of styles. Against Jersey Shore, they found the formula and the style to win the game because they knew the team. What kind of style does Somerset bring to the table that they need to counter?
Well, they're going to have to rely on, as they do each and every week, and that's a 3-5 defense, and supplying the pressure. They're going to have to be able to hit gaps, and that the linebacker's coming up and to be able to stop this Heupel kid, averaging 9 yards a carry. But they do run the read option, which with a quarterback who is able to run the ball as well. He has over 550 yards on the ground for the junior quarterback as well. So, you know, it's probably a lot of the same approach by Derek Hicks and his defensive coaching staff, hitting those gaps. Derek does a great job of film watching and looking for tendencies, and it's going to be a style a little bit different than what they've seen over the last few weeks, but fortunately over the years they have seen this type of offense, so I think that prepares the coaching staff, thus prepares this defense who's just been lights out all season long. They've held teams to just over 10 points per game.
Kevin, a chance to talk to Matt Mazel of WJAC TV 6, who's been on this show before, a little bit about Somerset.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to find out, this is a team that, you know, runs, as you said, the read option. So does that mean their quarterback is going to be the most athletic or the key position here on this football team?
Well, one of the things that Somerset, their biggest strength is the fact that they don't have just one guy who can run the ball. Their quarterback, Dylan Barnes, can run the ball. Jake Heupel, who is their main running back, can run it. Logan Eller is very much a power back, a change of pace type of guy. And they also have Raven Beeman. So they really have four guys who can run the ball, but they also have a bit of a threat of a pass. It's not major. They rarely go to the air, and they've done it even less as the season has gone on. Some of that has to do with the weather. Some of it has to do just with personnel. They have one strong receiver, and that's their tight end, Bryce Mostoller. But Somerset, in a way, they're a one-trick pony. And that's what cost them against in their one loss this year against Bishop Guilfoyle, who, mind you, is one of the top teams in the state. But they weren't able to, when Bishop Guilfoyle stopped their run, there was no threat of a passing game. Against Clearfield, they were able to run the ball at will, and hence why they were able to win 27-0. So Somerset can run the ball with four different guys, but if you're able to stop the run against them, chances are you're going to come out on the top end.
Matt, when you look at their record, they have two teams that they've played that have above 500 records on the regular season, so it's kind of tough to really judge what kind of a team Somerset is just by looking at that. You know, with a little bit of a strength of schedule issue there, is that something that maybe we haven't seen the best from them yet even?
It's definitely a concern. The Laurel Highlands, the league in which they play, probably a down year. That said, Bishop Guilfoyle is legit. They're the number two team in the state behind Clareton. They're a legit threat to make it to Hershey. So losing to them the last game of the year, there was no shame in that. And I think a lot of people wondered how would they, because they haven't been tested much this year, how would they fare against a team like Clearfield, who played a much tougher schedule and was a co-champion in the Mountain League. And the fact that they were able to dominate them, I think, showed a lot of people that, all right, Somerset's regardless of what their schedule was, they're a legitimately good team that plays sound defense and has an offense that can put yards up there. So even though that they had a weak schedule, I guess you could say, the Laurel Highlands being down, the loss to Bishop Guilfoyle, in which BG just humbled Somerset, I still think that what they proved against Clearfield showed that they're still a team to be reckoned with.
That's Matt Maisel, WJAC TV6. I want to ask you the other part about, Pat, about the travel part. Essentially, this is going to be as close to a home game as everybody. Somerset's not that far from Richland High School in Johnstown. Selins Grove fans have to travel a long way for that one. What about that component?
Well, first of all, from the fan base, one of the best fan bases you'll find in the Selins Grove nation, and they travel well. They did it in 2009, going to this very spot, watching a 2009 team beat Greater Johnstown 35-3, and they hung in a blowing windstorm. The goalposts were rocking back and forth, but it's almost like the fans take it as a challenge, and they're putting, you know, they were attempting to put some buses together to head out and those kinds of things. Now, in terms of the team, I love this type of weather for this Selins Grove team because they played defense. You know, if they were trying to throw for a whole bunch of yards and score a bunch of points, I'd be a little concerned. But they play defense, and they'll hang their hat on that no matter what the weather is. And I feel very confident in that defense to show up and be able to do what they've done all year long.
The win over Jersey Shore was not only a win to win the district championship in advance. What did it do for their confidence as a team?
What it did was they had played what they would consider some of their biggest games, and they came up on the losing end of that, the Berwick game,
right.
The Southern Columbia game. These are games they played very well. Jersey Shore, the first time, played very well. But there needed to be a statement. There needed to be something saying that, you know, we're not only competitive with these teams, but we need to beat them. you know what they did, and you said it early on, Steve, about, you know, they did it understanding the style they need to do it, and that was to jack up the defense, and boy, did they do that. So that gives them just all this confidence. Zach Adams played the corner position like an All-American, came up on run support, blowing things up. The defensive line just harassed English all night long. I think from a defensive standpoint, they are on an all-time high, and that's saying a lot for a team that's played great all year long. It's the offense now that needs to put up, I think they need to put up 21 points and they win this game, because I don't think Somerset's going to score 21 points against this defense.
Great. Appreciate it, Pat, very much. Ryan Brandt will join you. And, sir, Bob, was there somebody else in that broadcast?
I'm not sure there is anybody else on it, but I think
I do like how you keep
Pat,
it.
Pat, how do you feel about interlopers who who sprain ankles jumping on the bandwagon at the last moment?
I do feel the tug on my shirt, but it's a welcome tug, so he can come on along. He's going to drive, so how much better can it be?
I'm just here to help the ball club.
Hey, Pat, your main job is to keep Kevin from getting frostbite down on the field.
Yeah, I love how he reminded me of how the last time Steelens Grove played there, it was windy, it was cold, the goalposts were rocking. Come on.
You know where we're going. I didn't surprise you on the weather report.
No, I knew all too well.
You're going to Hamland, baby. You're going to Hamland.
And
you're
he's not even going to be home.
He's going to be out with me. But we will find out what happened. But you're going to Jack Ham's hometown, man. So, hey, Pat, thanks a lot. Great job. Eagle 107 has the game coming up on Friday night.
Should be great. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate it, Steve. And I do plan on speaking to you again next week as we move into the second round of states.
I'm loving it. Thanks, Pat. Pat O'Brien with us, joining us, and, of course, he and Ryan Brandt. And, Kevin, don't think of me as Aaron Andrews, her, on the sidelines. We'll come
She's
back
a lot prettier than I am.
I've met her, I've met you, and you are so correct.
Yes.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's always great to bond with Buhner.
Thank you, Steve. Then there's the interloper
who just jumping out. Hey, a team's successful. I think I'll go broadcast the game.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. How come when you get called to do a game that's not Penn State, because you're available, it's not you're not called an interloper? When I'm available and I'm doing a game to help out somebody, I'm an interloper.
Probably because Steve gets asked to do the game.
Okay. For one thing, they call me and ask me. I don't go over and go, hey, by the way, I'm showing up.
I made an offer. Offer accepted. There was an offer. There was acceptance. It's all good.
Yes, it's amazing how intimidated they felt. I've talked to the two of them.
Nobody's
really
ever been intimidated with me talking to them. What are you talking about?
Actually, hey, the deal is...
I don't know what to do.
Kevin's driving, so that's the real deal.
Oh, as if that makes up for it in some way. Suddenly, hey, not only is the interloper there, he's going to put us in danger.
Yeah. Wait, right, the real reason is I'm their meal ticket. That's the reason they allowed it.
Your meal ticket?
I'm the meal ticket, yes.
You win two awards and you feel like you're going to elevate the broadcast?
That's not that kind of meal ticket.
you're taking it literally, right, Kevin? You are the meal
literally,
ticket.
Literally, I am the meal ticket.
By the way, Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, is going to join us in the next half hour. Final half hour, Todd Sadowski, Blue White Tailgate Show, will join us. Tomorrow's show should be a lot of fun. Mark Brennan, Fight on State. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. Also, coming up tomorrow, Mike Lang, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yep, that's right.
Oh, man.
We're going to have the Hall of Famer on tomorrow to talk about the Pens. A lot of news with them, unfortunately, lately with Pascal Dupuy and what happened with him, because that's obviously that's something that dangerous. And also coming up tomorrow, we'll have Josh Moyer from ESPN.com all on tomorrow's show, leading into, obviously, there'll be another Penn State basketball game tomorrow night. And, of course, an Eagle 107, Pat, Ryan, and...
Don't say it.
I turned it down, Steve, just so you know. I turned it down.
It's, I mean, the
party crasher. I mean, they made a movie about Kevin. It was starred
Wedding
Vince
Crashers
Vaughn and Owen Wilson. Wedding Crashers.
Vince Vaughn dances better than I do, though.
That's true.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just, hey, are you limping right now?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because a lot of people sprained ankles jumping on the bandwagon.
It can happen. And Steve, don't forget
he just put his head down. I know it.
He's inconsolable. Steve, don't forget that tonight Bucknell travels down to the City of Brotherly Love for their men's basketball team to take on the Wildcats of Villanova. I think 10th ranked in the country. Game time, I believe, is 8 p.m.
8 p.m. for Villanova Bucknell. Now, we'll be leading into Penn State basketball, 5 o'clock the airtime. This is the only three I can't do this year. Lauren Crispell's going to fill in for me. He'll be great. And they'll have Dick Girardi there as well. This is an important game for Penn State for this particular reason. First of all, Charlotte's a good team. They're not a great, awesome, and incredible team, but they're a good basketball team. The next part is by winning and putting yourself into the winner's bracket, you now change your RPI quotient, because suddenly instead of if you lose the game, you're going to probably play Cornell. That gets you nothing. Okay? Yeah, it gets you a potential win, but it gets you nothing on the RPI side, and it kills your strength of schedule. If you win the game, you get into the South Carolina bracket. Now your RPI and strength of schedule increase, and it also assures you of being in the Final Four on Sunday, where you're playing for no worse than third place and possibly playing for first place. And no matter what, you're going to get another quality opponent in all likelihood in either one of those games. You could get USC. You could get Miami. There's a bunch of scenarios there that are in front of you that you could possibly get by getting into by winning this game tonight. So that's the domino that, even though it's November, that's the part to keep in mind moving forward. I always transition back to 5 years ago when Penn State won the NIT. They were one of the last two out. Penn State and San Diego State were the last two out. I know, because I was told that by a member of the committee. And strength of schedule certainly came into play. If Penn State had beaten Rhode Island in the Philly Hoops Classic and it played Villanova, instead of losing that game and ended up playing Towson, it would have made a strength of schedule difference. That's what this game with Charlotte's about tonight. It's about going 3-0, but it's also about getting yourself into the right bracket that, in terms of strength of schedule, gives you a bump that you need. That's coming up the airtime an hour from now.
Wow.
Next half hour, Brian Barnhart, play-by-play boys, Illinois football. Then Bob rejoins us. And then Mr. Johnny Come Lately. Here's Johnny.
Nicholson's on? This is going to be a great... Are we going to talk to him about falling asleep at Laker games?
Excellent idea.
I'm going to talk to Pat and Ryan to see if they'll freeze you out and not send it down to you.
Oh, I'll be frozen. Don't worry.
Nanook of the North.